Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I want to start off this podcast pointing out some of the highlights, or in this case, lowlights, about the unsustainable U.S. debt situation. The U.S. government posted a $228 billion budget deficit for the month of June. That was up 170% from a year earlier. That means the first 9 months of fiscal 2023 showed a deficit that was approaching triple the amount seen during the first 9 months of fiscal 2022. Interest payments over this period reached $652 billion, 25% more than during the same period a year ago. That makes it the fastest growing part of our deficit, interest payments. Interestingly, revenues fell 11% in the comparative period, which begs the question, if the economy was really growing, then why are tax revenues shrinking? I mean, there wasn't any tax cuts that I'm aware of. The answer is, all we are actually measuring is nominal growth due to inflation. There is no real growth at all. The U.S. debt is officially $32.6 trillion. However, the actual size of government debts, including entitlement obligations such as Social Security and Medicare, is around $200 trillion. According to the estimates from the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, entitlements and interest expenses alone will equate to 100% of all revenue, of all tax revenue, by 2040, which isn't that far away. 100% of all revenues. The legendary investor Stan Druckenmiller frames it like this. By 2040, there will be no money left for defense, no welfare programs, no money left to run any part of our government other than entitlements and interest payments. Of course, no government can operate without money, so that's not going to happen. To make things even worse, the Fed normally remits some of its profits, in fact, all of its profits made on government debt back to the Treasury. Almost all of its profits. However, that is no longer the case because the Fed is now losing money. It pays more on reverse repo agreements and excess reserves than it earns on its Treasury and mortgage-backed securities holdings. According to my friend Chris Whalen of Whalen Global Advisors, the losses being incurred by the Fed means that the central bank will not be remitting any savings to the U.S. Treasury for the next decade. The Fed is on, this is what Alex Pollock has to say, the Fed is on the way to operating losses of an estimated $110 billion this year. Its mark-to-market loss as of March 31st, 2023 was $911 billion. Yeah, the government better call 911. So there's really only three solutions on the table. Massive spending cuts. Well, we tried that and, we locked down government. We had this big debate, debt ceiling debate, and we really didn't do much of anything. That's not going to work. Humongous, I'm talking about 40% cuts in the budget. That's not going to happen. Humongous tax increases or hyperinflation, all of which are extremely deleterious to the economy. But tax increases and spending cuts are politically untenable, and the economic damage incurred from either would engender an economic depression in the short term. But these two solutions, which is, we dramatically raise taxes or a combination of, tax hikes and spending cuts, they're the only sustainable solution. Hence, the Fed will most likely try to print the problem away like every other central bank does, and cause hyperinflation. But hyperinflation is not at all a panacea either. It can be more easily obfuscated than a depression, but it doesn't solve any problems. Okay, turning to the latest economic data. The Conference Board's leading economic index for the U.S. declined by 0.7% in June 2023 to 106.1, following a decline of 0.6% in May. The LIE, Leading Economic Index, is down 4.2% over the six-month period between December 2022 and June of 2023. That is a steeper rate of decline than its 3.8% contraction over the previous 6 months, June to December 2022. This is what the LEI has to say about their metric. The U.S. LEI fell again in June, fueled by gloomier consumer expectations, weaker new orders, an increased number of initial claims for unemployment, and a reduction in housing construction. The leading index has been in decline for 15 months, the longest streak of consecutive decreases since 2007 and 2008, which was during the run-up to the Great Recession. The leveraged finance market, which consists of levered loans and high-yield debt, now stands at over $3 trillion. That is up 100% since the global financial crisis, according to Fitch Rating Agency. What does our president think to do about all of this debt? Well, our socialist in chief thought it was a good idea last week to cancel $39 billion of student loan debt, which, by the way, is owed to Uncle Sam, meaning those students who got a free pass to college because of that debt cancellation will now end up sending that bill for their schooling to the taxpayers, which include those students, or, you know, would-be students that didn't go to college because they could not afford it and then want to take out the loan. It also includes students that paid for tuition out of pocket. They actually saved so they can go to college. And also, those who took out a loan and made the mistake of paying it back, they get a tax bill now. This is the definition of fairness for liberals. Continuing on with other data, June existing home sales were 18.9% lower compared with last year. That is the slowest sales pace for June since 2009. The perma bulls in the mainstream financial media did acknowledge that the market for existing homes is dead due to mortgage rates that have surged above 7%. However, they mistakenly then turn it around and say that, well, the market for new home sales is great, so that's going to supplant the loss from existing home sales. This is a specious argument. It's just completely wrong. The truth is the available pool of all real estate buyers has been greatly diminished due to spiking borrowing costs and skyrocketing home prices. And since there are far less existing homeowners willing to swap a 3% mortgage for a 7% loan, their listings are way down to sell their house. Hence, the diminished demand is flowing. Whatever diminished demand there is diminished demand for new purchases, is going to new home construction. But that strength in new home sales should not be mistaken as strength in the housing market. After all, new home sales account for only 10% of all purchases. And in June, new home sales came in at 697,000 units, missing the estimate of 725,000 units, but who cares about an estimate? I like to look at the comparisons, and they were down from the prior month that was 763,000. So it's a sharp drop month over month in new home sales. I'll give you a great example of this deception, another one from the mainstream financial media. Home builder D.R. Horton stock surged by 4% in the pre-market after last Friday's earnings headlines that said, of course, we beat expectations. D.R. Horton beat the number. Wow, that's wonderful. This was used as evidence of strength in the consumer and in the real estate sector. However, this is the following quote taken directly from D.R. Horton's own press release on their website. Net income attributable to D.R. Horton in the third quarter of fiscal 2023 decreased 19% to $1.3 billion compared to $1.6 billion in the same quarter of fiscal 2022. Now, how can a home building company whose net income has crashed by 19% year over year ever be used as evidence of a booming real estate market? It can't be. Only on the BS you see on CNBS. Now, our omniscient Federal Reserve decided to raise the Fed funds rate to 5.25% to 5.5%, which is exactly the same target that preceded the crash of 2008, the global financial crisis. That's the same level. There was no change in the pace of its balance sheet reduction, And other than the rate increase, there was nothing new coming out of the July meeting statement. So here's the setup. According to FactSet, the S&P 500 is trading at 19 and a half times next year's earnings. This rosy outlook still puts the forward PE ratio above the five-year average of 18.6, right? 19.5 is above 18.6, and above the 10-year average of 17.4. So 19 and a half times next year's guess at earnings, which will never happen, is very, very, very rich. But during most of that 10-year time frame, the Fed was engaged in QE and had borrowing costs pinned close to zero. However, this time around, the Fed has raised the Fed funds rate well above 5% and continues to boost rates higher and is burning the base money supply too. What is even worse, this ebullient valuation has been afforded to stocks, even though we are in the middle of an earnings recession. This quarter will make it three straight quarters with negative earnings per share growth. Three straight quarters in a row. So far for Q2 of 2023, the blended earnings decline for the S&P 500 is -9%. Oh, and by the way, if you think that the FOMO-infected stock rally in the first half of 2023 means the economy has achieved escape velocity, then why did the regional bank PacWest plunge by 27% yesterday? PacWest was the nation's 49th largest bank as of March 31st, with $44 billion in assets. It was then reported after the close of business that the bank will be sold to Santa Ana-based Bank of California. So I guess, you know, this was prearranged, so there's no big, it's not like it was the bank failed. But the problem is very clear. The regional banks are in a big world of hurt because they cannot match their rate they give depositors on their loans. So they continue to see this deposit flight, which risks them going insolvent like the other four banks that closed so far this year. So no, the problems in the banking system have not been fixed. As of now, as I say, four bank failures have been seen since March. And that's been due to the difference between deposit rates and treasury yields. That problem remains and is getting worse even after today's rate hike. But we have yet to see bank loan values decay due to faltering GDP. Therefore, given that the economy is still creeping slowly towards the edge of an economic cliff, the incipient systemic banking crisis has really only just begun.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.